Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for this blessing us on this afternoon and blessing us with this amazing horse.
It's always creeping up in almost every historical era in different iterations, this idea that bodily material world is not as valuable or as divine as the spiritual world.
Gentlemen, open up your mouths and sing. It is a manly thing to sing. This is the church going to war, and you may sing as the army of Christ.
But I would rather have my eyes plucked out. I'd rather be imprisoned rather than deny this. Jesus lives, and he's the only God. And I'd rather die a martyr than be thought well of by a tolerant world and go to hell.
Farmers in South Dakota, listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
The Christian faith is founded on a fact, the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is both history, but it's also something that has its ongoing effects in the world. It changes things. It changes everything. It is, in fact, the event that not only establishes the truth of Christianity's claims, it is the truth of Christianity's claims that Christ, the crucified for the sins of the world, has been raised from the dead. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be talking with Pastor Matt Harrison in about 25 minutes on the significance of Christ's resurrection. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. In the meantime, we're going to be going through listener email, as our listeners will often respond to us when they listen on demand, out of time with the live broadcast. They got questions, they have comments, they have criticisms, and show suggestions. We like to respond to as much email as we possibly can. That email address is issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. comment line, if you prefer to just comment and you refer to leave your comment as a voicemail, you can certainly do that as well, 618-223-8382.
Before we begin with the email, we've got an exciting new promotion to announce today.
Oh, that's right. What was it last year that we were able to produce a CD of original recordings of with the, what do we call it now, the Lutheran Public Radio Choir?
Yes.
We were able to do that, was it last year, 2018 or 2016? I can't remember, or 2017.
Recently.
We don't remember, that means. But what we've decided is that we would like to keep this an ongoing project, continue to do original recordings of hymns with the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. We like to be able to do that just first because we like to have quality recordings of hymns that may not have been recorded before. But we want to do one for 2018, especially for the 10th anniversary of Issues Etc., returning to the air independently. By the way, it's also the 25th anniversary of Issues Etc. as a broadcast. And in order to do that, we thought it would be a good idea to have our listeners pick the content of that CD. And the easiest way to do that is simply have our listeners answer the question, what's your favorite hymn? And we'll simply compile a list of a dozen or so of our listeners' favorite hymns based upon their votes. And those will be the hymns that'll go on the next Lutheran Public Radio Choir CD that we're going to record here shortly. Now, how do our listeners answer that question? What's your favorite hymn?
Simple and sweet.
Oh, we don't need any whys, by the way. We just want to know what's the title of your hymn.
One vote per person. This isn't Chicago politics. Send your favorite hymn to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at issuesetc.org. Lynn at issuesetc.org. You can vote until Monday, May 21st. That's when balloting closes.
So between now and Monday, May 21st, if you send an email to Lynn at issuesetc.org, Lynn is just our human calculator. She keeps the knowledge. She's our knowledge base, our institutional memory, and she just runs numbers for us. So she's going to run the numbers on your favorite hymns. We don't need to know why it's your favorite hymn. If you want to tell us, that's fine. But
no, Lynn said don't tell her why.
Oh, she doesn't want to know why.
She doesn't have time to.
She doesn't have time to know why.
Email.
Okay.
Yes.
All she needs to know is the title of your favorite hymn. And then we'll go through that. We'll compile the favorites of our listeners, and it will become the playlist for the next Lutheran Public Radio Choir CD.
Now,
when should that be out, by the way, Jeff?
Well, hopefully it'll be out by the 10th anniversary of our return as an independent operation under the auspices of Lutheran Public Radio, Inc. Now,
June 30th.
That's right. A disclaimer. It needs to be preferably in Lutheran Service Book or in Lutheran Worship or the Lutheran Hymnal, a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod synodically approved hymnal. If you send us As a Deer Panteth by the Water, not going to make the cut.
Or We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder, something like that.
Or Shine Jesus Shine.
Yeah.
Not going to make the cut.
Not going to make the cut.
So we thought, well, let's put together another CD rather than us figure out what to put on there. This CD will contain listeners from around the world, their top 10 to 12 favorite hymns of Issues Etc. listeners.
All recorded by the wonderful, we just actually did a pre-recorded interview where we used one of the recordings from the Lutheran Public Radio Choir, and they sound fantastic. This is a pet peeve of mine. I think Jeff shares this little pet peeve when it comes to recorded sacred music. Sometimes it's more about the musician. I'm not talking about the vocalist, but I'm talking about the musician, the organist. A lot of times you get a lot of organ and very little singing. Now, you need accompaniment sometimes, but often what I've found, at least my preference, is sometimes a cappella, when I can actually hear the words sung by human voices, is preferable to a lot of muddying up of the words with nothing against organ music. It's just that sometimes in these recordings, the musicians get a little carried away. Is that a good way to put it? They get a little carried away?
Yeah, I think it's putting the best construction. It might be microphone placement.
It could be,
you know,
yes.
Because, you know, so.
So the pet peeve there is we really wanted, even for ourselves, just to have good, solid, beautiful sounding recordings of good, solid Christian hymnody. And that's where this whole idea began with the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. And it's not just. And the other reason was there were a lot of hymns we realized when we were putting together our Lutheran Public Radio playlist, a lot of hymns, good ones, that either haven't ever been recorded that we can find, or they've been recorded poorly, or in a foreign language. And we kind of like to have it in the vernacular, if possible.
So you have till May 21st to send an email with your favorite hymn to lynn@issuesetc.org, and we'll probably announce sometime that following week what our Issues Etc. listeners' favorite hymns. Lynn@issuesetc.org.
They can span all of the church year. We're getting into the out of the Easter season. They don't have to be pertinent to any season of the church year. They can be from anywhere in the church year. So don't restrict yourself. If it happens to be a Christmas hymn, that's good. If it happens to be a Lenten hymn, that's good. If it happens to be an Easter hymn, that's good as well. All across the church year, all across the wide breadth of Christian hymnody.
Here's an email just came in this morning. It comes from Stephen. I was listening to the program Teaching Eternal Truths, the Apostles' Creed. Pastor Jonathan Fisk begins discussing around the 39-minute mark, the Son and the Father sending the Holy Ghost after Christ's ascension. He says this can only happen after Jesus ascends, allowing the Holy Ghost to bring faith to humanity. Don't know how I feel about that, but that's beside the point. Pastor Fisk goes on to say that this is why Jesus leaving is to our benefit, because if he hadn't left, we couldn't have faith because it would no longer be necessary, since we could potentially still see Jesus hanging out in Jerusalem today. You wouldn't have to believe because you could see, is a direct quote from Pastor Fisk. This is a fundamental misunderstanding of faith that I used to hold myself. We don't believe in faith only those things which we can't see. We believe in things regardless of if we can see them or not. Plenty of people who saw Jesus in the flesh still believed in him, and not just in the historical sense. Also, we have a corporeal God, so I'd argue that in a supernatural sense, I still see Christ in the flesh today, and I still have faith. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening, Stephen.
I don't believe that Pastor Fisk was making an absolute kind of a blanket statement there that to see something makes it impossible to believe a thing. In fact, Jesus constantly adjures people to believe in him when he's standing right in front of them. Believe in God, believe also in me. Very famous words of Christ. So, and there he is standing right in front of them. He also warns his opponents that they do not believe in him when he's standing right in front of them. And he never implies in any way that you know, you can't believe in me because you can see me. You're right. If that were what Pastor Fisk were saying, then we would have to very quickly correct that. But I think what Pastor Fisk was saying is just kind of in a ordinary sense, if Jesus was on the news every night showing people his hands and feet and doing press conferences, or I don't know, like Pastor Fisk said, hanging out in Jerusalem, entirely apart from the issue of the sending of the Holy Spirit, it would be kind of commonplace to say, well, yeah, there's that 2,000-year-old guy who once died and rose again. Would that be saving faith? No, because that's mere assent to the historical facts, isn't it? Saving faith is not only assent to historical facts, it's also trust in that person. So there is the demon faith, which is, of course, the demons know that Jesus died and rose again. They cannot deny it. Of course, they know that God is one. Of course, they know that, they attempt to deny it. Of course, they know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They know all the truths of the Christian faith, but they have no trust in that God or in Christ, but rather they despise and hate him. So this is why theologians have said that faith consists of these things, not only an assent to historical facts, which would be easily established by a 2,000-year-old man walking around with scars in his hands and his feet. That would be very easy to establish, especially if he'd been around for 2,000 years and everyone knew he was there. The assent to the historical facts would be almost impossible to deny. As Jesus outlived one more person after another generation and continued wherever he is known in the world. But trust in him is an entirely different thing, which is something that can only be given by God's word through the Holy Spirit. Whether people were standing in front of the risen Christ, as many did, up to 500 at one time, or whether that we do not see the risen Christ as he appeared to his disciples before his ascension, and yet we still believe. The real question here is, when Jesus says, it is necessary that I go to the Father, if I do not go away, I cannot send the Spirit. The Spirit cannot come. He's putting into place the necessity of his ascension so that from the Father, he will send the Spirit into the world so that all may believe. Those who have seen him and believed, and those who do not see him and believe. And I think the point that Pastor Fisk was trying to get at is historical assent to the facts would be easy if Jesus were still walking the earth. But we would still need the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says he does not send the Holy Spirit until he goes to the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to believe. Now, what is the nature of that necessity that Christ must go to the Father before the Holy Spirit can be sent to give the gift of faith to the world? We do not know, but Jesus says it's necessary. I've never figured it out. I don't think it's necessary to figure it out. But Jesus simply says, unless I go away, I cannot send the Spirit. So I agree with Pastor Fisk here. Christ going away in his ascension, that is, he never withdraws his presence from us. He is present bodily in the Eucharist. He is present there in his word. But Christ going away, withdrawing his visible presence from us, is actually a good thing because of the promise of the Holy Spirit. When we come back from this break, we'll go through a little bit more listener email as we listen to your suggestions, your show suggestions, your criticisms, everything else that you feel free to write us about, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Echo by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll go through listener email on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 9th, about another 10 minutes. Then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us to talk about the significance of Christ's resurrection.
Natalie writes, I was just listening to What You Are Streaming and heard a discussion on whether it was possible for Jesus to sin. Here's my thought on this. If he was tempted, the sin must have been possible almost by definition. After all, I can't be tempted to eat the cookies if there are no cookies to eat. I'd love to know what the issues folks think on this. Thanks for the email, Natalie.
That's a very interesting question. Now, I'll just tell you my own story here. I had not given that a lot of thought, and I had an unexamined presupposition challenged on that very subject. Now, this was years ago. It may have been 10, 12 years ago, and I know it was in the course of actually doing a show. I was talking, if I recall, with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We were, I don't know, maybe doing a hymn study, probably doing a hymn study with him. And somewhere in the course of that conversation, I suddenly was confronted with this question that I realized I'd always assumed had the answer that you just gave there, that, well, how could Jesus be tempted if it weren't really possible for him to sin? And Dr. Just, I vaguely remember what he had to say, but the gist of it was, well, of course, it is impossible for Christ to have sinned. It is simply not possible for him to do that. Why? He is God. It is not in his nature to sin. There are certain things God cannot do. I actually wrote an article about that some years ago, what God cannot do. And one of them is sin, or be tempted to sin or tempt men to sin. He can't do those things. Scripture so clearly teaches that. It's not in his nature to do these things. See, people think about God being God, and they think, well, if you're God, you can do whatever you want. And if you do it, then it isn't sin. But that's not how God has revealed himself. He's revealed himself as to be entirely holy, not only without sin, but without the possibility of sin. Does he define what sin is? Yes, he does. And he sticks to his own rules. It's not as though he were to say, well, there's something that I've told men is a sin, but I can do it because I'm God. That's not the nature of God that has been revealed to us in Holy Scripture. So the answer to the question is no, it is in fact impossible for Christ to have sinned, precisely because he is God. And Scripture also assures us through many and various ways that even according to his human nature, which was assumed into the divine nature at his incarnation, the possibility of sin does not exist there either. Now, the go-to passage here is the one that really raises your question. So let me explain. I know that what I've just said there might seem to be illogical. He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, is the passage you're probably thinking of. And this is how we sort that out. And I see how you're reasoning it. I'm tempted, and when I'm tempted, the nature of the temptation is in my desire for the thing with which I'm being tempted. And this is how I urge you to think about it. Temptation comes from the outside, but in fallen, sinful human beings, even in Christians who have the Holy Spirit, insofar as they remain sinners, that outside temptation has an inside ally. It has a man on the inside, so to speak. That our sinful nature is an ally to the temptation that comes to us from the outside. And so we simply cannot conceive, even Christians, cannot conceive of being tempted without that attendant inside man saying, yeah, I really want that. And we've confused temptation to sin, which comes from the outside, with that kind of conspiratorial voice within us that says, yeah, I really do want what this temptation is offering me. Jesus has no inside man. He has no sin. When temptation comes to him from the outside, it is genuine temptation, but we cannot think like ourselves. We have to think a little bit like Jesus. There is no voice within Jesus that says, I want to sin. He rejects it entirely. Is it real temptation? It is. He is truly tempted as we are, yet without sin, yet without the evil desire to give in to the temptation, because he has no evil desires. It is impossible for him to have sinned. Now, let me say one more thing on this subject. I think we like to kind of spin this scenario that, boy, there's this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane or this moment in the wilderness when he's being tempted wherein he could have given in and ruined everything. No, never could happen. He wasn't ever going to do it. There was no suspense when he was being tempted. Our salvation and his sinlessness is secure from the very beginning. There is never any question as to whether or not he is going to conquer sin and death and overcome temptation. Never, ever any suspense. It is not going to happen. That is how certain your salvation is. That Jesus is tempted in every way as you are without sin, but there was never even a possibility that he would sin. It never would even enter the realm of possibility for him. He was going to accomplish your salvation. It was going to happen. It was never in doubt. It was never in peril. And nothing, nothing could stop it. That's the way you ought to think about it.
And we promised our listeners that we'd give away an audio DVD of all 6 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences on a weekly basis during this contest. Issues Etc. What does this mean?
We did?
Yes. So before we bring on President Harrison, here's this week's winner.
Hello, this is Luis calling from Padova near Venice in Italy. To me, Issues Etc. means God's own man-operated lighthouse tower, spreading Christ, the light of the world, across the oceans and overseas, reaching those of us word-hungry Christians in the furthest parts of the globe. Thanks, Issues Etc., for your faithful work and efforts. May Lord Jesus bless you all.
That was fantastic. Who was that again, Jeff?
Louise in Italy.
Louise in Italy, thank you very much for your answer to that question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? Our weekly winner gets the audio DVD of all six of our Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Everything that was at the conference and an audio DVD goes to Louise this week. You can answer that question as well and have the possibility of winning that audio DVD of all of our conferences. 618-223-8382. Answer the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382. Issues Etc. What does this mean? When we come back, the significance of Christ's resurrection with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.